Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast, CBSSports.com's senior NFL writer. I listened this morning to the Pick Six Podcast, and I found it entertaining. We will talk about some of the games not involving the Carolina Panthers. Will, how are you?
I am well, Adam. Although I found it a little annoying to get chirped at over the semantics involving a lightning strike on a scoreboard and whether or not a particular university's brand new scoreboard was struck by lightning or simply like malfunctioned due to like weather. So it was just, I can't remember what the actual phrase the university used, but lightning caused the scoreboard to get knocked out.
Right? It did.
Guys, so to whoever was chirping at me and whoever you work for, and I don't even know who you are, just please don't do that again.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Maybe they should have stayed inside anyway, judging by what happened in the first play after the resumption of play. All right, let's start with, I really thought, maybe I had talked myself into it because preseason football, I thought the Steelers were going to be sneaky good. Maybe they will. But they were not, or was that all about the San Francisco 49ers just being that good?
I think it's probably more about San Francisco than it was about Pittsburgh. Although, you know, as you mentioned, you listened to the Pick Six Podcast, and Ryan Wilson led our recap last night. That was an attempt to keep it a tight 90 minutes versus full 2 hours.
1 hour, 34 minutes, according to my counter.
That's right. I actually... purposely, if you watch it on video, you could see like the laughter creeping across my face, stretch it across the 90-minute window just to make Wilson mad.
It's quite all right.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, you're definitely feeling a high level of concern that like, one, Matt Canada is a problem, and I think, you know, people around here will understand that he maybe not the greatest offensive play caller. There's actually three coaches on that Steelers staff that were on the NC State staff that didn't win or that went like 0-8 in the conference, which is just a very odd coincidence. I think you look at the offense and you definitely say, all right, that preseason was fun, but now that the bullets are flying, so to speak, it sure doesn't look quite as good, and Kenny Pickett struggled. But I think you also have to say, all right, this San Francisco defense might just be one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. And, you know, Brock Purdy and Patrick Peterson had some words before and after the game with Pat P claiming he was tipping plays, and Purdy looked really sharp. I mean, he got the ball out quick. He and Brandon Ayuk had fantastic chemistry. Christian McCaffrey, elite as always. Jeez. And I mean, dude, right? If all those guys are if Brock Purdy is playing like that all season long, then the Niners are just going to be, you know, the best team in football. I mean,
right?
Because that defense looks the part, and so I think it's probably more about San Francisco. But you should absolutely be, you know, tapping the panic button a little bit if you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah, look, the preseason football really doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Right. You can knock some rust off, but ultimately you're probably not playing against other teams' ones ever. So that doesn't really matter. But the Steelers do.
And sometimes even as we'll talk about with the Panthers, it's like, you could have panic about the offensive line, but it might be because other teams are being more aggressive. It doesn't matter in like several ways. And with Pittsburgh in particular, it's like, great, Kenny Pickett. That's great that you were good in the preseason, but man, you got to be good in the regular season too.
Yeah, and so 1 week in, it doesn't look so good for the Steelers, And it's a difficult division, as we found out, because Cleveland's defense is outstanding, although they might just own Joe Burrow. He's, what, 1-5 in his career against the Browns, which is a bizarre, bizarre number. Let me go to MetLife Stadium last night. When the Jets, or I should say, if the Jets score a point, well, that'll be the first time the home team did at MetLife Stadium. 40-0? And here's the thing about it. And I don't know what game Chris Collinsworth was watching last night. Dallas's offense was not impressive.
They have to do anything.
Well, I know, but it still was not impressive. And Collinsworth was convinced, and I'm using air quotes here, convinced that they'll be fine with Mike McCarthy calling plays. I'm not saying they won't, but there was nothing last night that should have told you that Dallas will be fine with McCarthy calling plays, because the Giants were so horrifically bad.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, apologies to all Cowboys fans, including my good friend Heidi B. You know, for me picking the Giants to win and
so
to win
I.
that game, and to cover that game for CBSSports.com, that was I've made a huge mistake moment, right? The Arrested Development gif. it was dead out of the gate. Although, like, the Giants did a pretty good job moving the ball down the field.
On the first drive.
Yeah,
and Collinsworth said, I commented, I was making pizza at home.
Handmade, homemade pizza?
Absolutely. As I was spreading the toppings.
The
no, I had already needed the dough. The dough was needed before the game started. As I was making the actual pie, Collinsworth said out loud, "Boy, this game is going very much the way the Giants wanted it." It was the first drive of the game. And the very next thing that happened was Andrew Thomas false start. And then the snap went on the ground past Daniel Jones. Then there was the missed field goal and the blocked field goal for a touchdown. And that was it. That was the last time the Giants were even part of the equation.
Yeah. And he also remarked and said something on that first drive about how he's like, Mike, you know, this is the Giants are really taking away the Cowboys' ability to get downhill with their rushers. Yeah. And it's like, and then all of a sudden it was like Daniel Jones was just under siege. I do think that, like, that game, I'm not trying to make any claim that it was like, it wasn't a 40-0 beatdown, but the Giants had, like, if you go score there first, it changes everything, because all of a sudden, you know, the Cowboys had two defensive touchdowns. I mean, like, quick, or two defensive special teams touchdowns, like, quick. Like, I had their defense in fantasy. Sorry, Will Edwards, but they dropped a 41 on your face, buddy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's one of those where we're not question. I don't want to come out and question the Cowboys offense or question the Cowboys, because if that defense plays like that, you know, if they play as well as they did, like, they're going to be a really good team. But we just didn't see anything from their offense.
Nothing.
You know, like, we didn't, there was nothing to see. Because
I actually saw average from their offense. I thought Dak was average to bad. I didn't think Dak was good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to get a firm grasp of it. Dak was 13-24 for 143 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. I mean, Tony Pollard ran. I thought Tony Pollard looked pretty good. And CeeDee Lamb looked. I mean, like the way he should. Like, he's awesome. CeeDee Lamb's incredible.
Right.
But like again, it's not like their fault. They just had, you know, they had a they had the Noah Igbinoghene block field goal and then the return. And, they, you know, but into the first quarter, it's 16-0, and they've got a field goal where, you know, they had a decent march and then, like, a pick six.
Yep.
And, you know, like, after that, it was also kind of like Dallas wasn't going to be hyper-aggressive on offense, trying to swing it all around. I mean, you know, you've got this big lead. Your defense is locking down the Giants. So, I think it's just hard to get a
– Well, no, I agree. I'm not saying their offense is bad. I'm just saying that there was nothing that we saw, and Collinsworth was gushing about McCarthy and Dak. Mike, the jury is way out on whether or not that's going to be a successful tandem.
Well, to compare the two, like, San Francisco, you felt very clearly as if they played really well on both sides of the ball. I think Dallas, it was like, all right, that defense uncorked on these guys, and they got, you know, and they scored twice, but it was sort of hard to tell whether or not the offense, like, you didn't get a firm grasp on
nothing.
How, like, what the offense identity will be. And that's fine.
That is fine. We did get a firm grasp on the Giants might be in a ton of trouble, although the caveat, Dallas's defense could end up being one of the two or three best
in the league. The Giants tripped all over themselves. I mean, they were giving it away. They were giving the ball away left and right.
They were bad. Daniel Jones was awful. Daniel Jones, it's like criticizing Beyonce on Twitter. If you criticize Daniel Jones on Twitter, I mean, the people go bananas. Like, you realize it's just Daniel Jones. He's not that good. Like, I question whether the Giants gave him a $40 million contract in the offseason. I didn't get it. And, you know, I've said this out loud so many times, it's ridiculous at this point. But when you pay a good player, and I'll just say Daniel Jones is an average NFL quarterback. You pay an average quarterback top player money, then you lose. You lose.
Put you behind the eight ball for sure.
I mean, it just eats up too much of your, in a salary cap game. If there's no salary cap and you can pay anything you want for anybody, go ahead and do it. But I think the Giants are in trouble. I'm sorry. This goes into the you hate to see it category. Sean Payton losing at home to the Raiders on opening day. Gosh, I hate that.
So I do hate it, but I understand that many people enjoy a little Schadenfreude with Schadenfreude, if you will.
Yeah.
With Sean Payton. So, like, I get it. It's not a great look. Especially, it's like you open the game, like you open your career as a Denver Broncos head coach. You're like, yeah, that's right. We're going onsides to start the season. It's like, all right. We get it. You went on sides and opened the second half of the Super Bowl. You got it. And it's like, you know, it's like a, check this out. Mm-hmm. Look at the big brain on Brad. Well, you know, you gave the Raiders a short field and, you know, you have this offense. It's not exactly like you're not in the Super Bowl, Sean. I get the idea of like, let's just flip these guys on their head, you know, get the onsides. And then it's like, but, you know, just kick off and let your defense play and force Josh McDaniels and Jimmy Garoppolo to beat you over the full length of the field. You know, and as John Breach pointed out on the podcast, you know, Sean Payton, so that's one where you give a short field with an onside kick that's, I mean, pretty unusual and pretty unnecessary. Like, onside kicks are hard to get, even surprise ones at the beginning of games. And then two, Will Lutz missed an extra point and a – I think like a field goal that was like within decent range and he lost by 1 point. And this is after he, you know, he fired Brandon McManus, the longtime Broncos kicker, and brought in Lutz from New Orleans because that was his guy.
Right.
And, you know, oops. I mean, whoops. Yeah. Well, whoops.
So,
like some special teams gaffes there by Mr. Payton.
I said this a month ago when Payton came out and said that he didn't mention Nathaniel Hackett, but when he said it was the worst coaching job in the history of the NFL, we know who he was talking about, and then went on to criticize the Jets after it. And he could be right on both counts. I'm not even arguing, and I said it at the time. He's probably right, but it's really awful to say that out loud. And my feeling was, you better win now, sir, because it would suck to have the second worst coaching job in NFL history in Denver. And those people want to win, and they don't have any history with Sean Payton. So he should probably win. Dolphins and Chargers was
game of the week.
Game of the week. Super entertaining. Tua Tagovailoa, if he stays healthy, might be just great. Of course, staying healthy is the biggest question with him because he is fragile. And he was fragile before the concussion problem happened because he had hip problems. As a young person, to have hip problems is just no good. But I'm not sure that this game isn't about the Chargers just not being able to get away from the fact that they're the Chargers.
I'd be fine with that. I think both teams had – I mean, I don't know. Like, I sort of – I don't read too – for me, the takeaway is, one, that, like, if Tua is healthy, the Dolphins' upside is huge.
Yep.
They also had to play from behind, right? They were coming from behind. They had to throw a bunch instead of running it against the Chargers, which is usually how you win. The Chargers, you know, ran the ball incredibly effectively against the Dolphins all day.
200 and some odd yards rushing.
and then decided to stop running the ball when they were down two with like 2 minutes to go, which is just insane. Like they should have absolutely have used Austin Ekeler there instead of dropping back and letting the Dolphins pass rush on cork on them and take Justin Herbert out. And all of a sudden they had like a 3rd and 35 or something like that. So that's sort of questionable by Kellen Moore in that spot, even though I think it's just going to be if Tua is healthy and if, you know, like Justin Herbert's got all his weapons, it's going to be tough to stop either of those offenses. It's just a matter of, you know, will we ever see the Chargers properly close out a football game? And I don't know that the answer is yes.
No, the answer is yes when they get a proper head coach. I don't know. I've never been Brandon Staley, whatever his name
Staley,
is.
Staley, yeah.
He's very good in front of a podium. I don't think he is nearly as good with a headset on.
Well, I mean, his defense just hasn't been good with the Chargers.
Yes, he's a defensive guy
too. Like, he's a defensive guy. Like, the defense just hasn't been good. I mean, like, you know, golf clap all around if your offense is good with Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, like an all-pro left tackle that got rookie of the year votes 2 years ago, Mike Williams, and now Quentin Johnson. Like, congratulations, you didn't screw it up. Like, you know, it's like, nobody should get an award for having a good offense with all that, right? It's like one of the congratulations. Here's your award. Thanks for meeting the bare minimum expectations.
Speaking of bare minimum, I want to close on this game. I really thought that the Chicago Bears has nothing to do with the preseason. I thought that the Chicago Bears were going to be the surprise team in the NFC North, and they were not good. But the real takeaway from that was that the Green Bay Packers are. The Packers were good on both sides of the ball. They were good on defense. And Jordan Love, Jordan Love was very good. And I know you guys talked about it, but I have not heard anybody else mention the fact that there has to be some positive for Jordan Love watching for 3 full seasons. Not that everybody should watch for 3 full seasons, but he looked so much more comfortable doing what he was supposed to be doing. And the fact that he was on the bench for 3 years didn't hurt him. I wish more teams would take this route when it comes to rookie quarterbacks. They all start because, you have to start them and accelerate the growing process.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes did it.
Yes, we have to
Carson Palmer, Phillip Rivers. I mean, all good
examples. Examples of quarterbacks who waited a year.
Aaron Rodgers,
unbelievable, and because we think that the salary cap dictates what you do, it doesn't have to. It simply doesn't have to. And I wonder how many quarterbacks are ruined because they start too soon and develop bad habits, and you can't break them.
Well, I think maybe if you want to throw another good example out there, and talking about the Bears, but it's tough. It's tough to say because it's not a simple sit them and they turn out great. But when Chicago brought in our buddy Mike Glennon and paid him in free agency, and then went to Mitchell Trubisky like way too quickly,
right away.
It's Mitchell Trubisky only started like 12 games in college. It probably would have behooved him to sit. I mean, we've seen some action. He couldn't beat out Kenny Pickett or whatever, but it's like, you know, he sat for a year in Buffalo and seemed to have like a better grasp on how to play quarterback. So I think it's a fine line to walk, but if your team isn't ready, if your quarterback isn't ready and your team isn't ready and you have an established veteran there, like, I don't see the need to like just yank the ripcord when everything's going poorly and go to the rookie, because it's like, you know, yeah, play the kid, but if the kid's not ready, don't, you know, like, let him sit. And Jordan Love clearly benefited from having some time to sit and learn and grow, develop, and sort of like, you know, get some action in NFL games and preseason games and sort of learn how to be a quarterback, to watch Aaron Rodgers, to see what he does. And you see some of Aaron Rodgers in his game too, I think, right? You know, like, you saw that with Zach Wilson a little bit in the preseason, where it's like you can see just, you know, picking up on the tendencies and the way that Rodgers operates. I mean, it definitely wears off of these kids. So yeah, I think in this case, especially when they drafted him and then Rodgers wins 2 MVPs, you know, like, they didn't win a title, but I mean, like, it's not like they were stinking while Love was on the bench.
Right. There was no pressure to play Love because Rodgers was playing well, and I understand all of that. But I think it matters that these guys have a chance to develop, especially considering the college game and the pro game might as well be chess and checkers. There's yeah. just no correlation to playing quarterback in college football and the NFL. They are different beasts, and nobody seems to want to acknowledge that.
Well, and I think, too, it's like what type of quarterback is like Bryce Young, for instance, I think is better off not sitting. Right, because I think he's just sort of like his floor is raised enough where he doesn't need to sit and learn, like he can play now, and maybe Anthony Richardson can too, and certainly he had some moments for the Colts, but like at the same time, you're just sort of like like a Jordan Love who was a little more raw, a little less refined. That's the type of guy you want to.
I will say this: I think that it wouldn't hurt any of these rookies to watch for a year.
Sure.
But none of the teams are equipped to do that.
Right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, too, because typically speaking, if you were drafting a highly coveted quarterback, you're top 10 pick in the draft, right?
Steve DeBerg is too old to be your quarterback like he was in front of Joe Montana and John Elway. Wasn't DeBerg?
DeBerg. DeBerg was. There's a great story about the voice box on the back of DeBerg's. You ever hear that one? Randy Cross told it.
No.
I'll find it and send it to you. But it's like he had to attach a voice box to the back of his like a speaker to the back of his shoulder pads because he'd lost his voice the night before a game, so that everyone could hear him.
That's awesome. All right, man. We will talk next Monday, my friend.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.